Where's your hope? Where's your love? Thank you. Good morning. Welcome you to worship service at St. Matthew's UMC, United Methodist Church. How are you doing this morning? Can we take a deep breath this morning? As you, not in the sanctuary yet, but as we take the deep breath in, we may feel God's breath of life into us. And as we breathe out, we may feel we have the compassion we want to spread to the world. Amen? Amen. Let us worship God as one body of Jesus Christ together.
Loving God, when we are given life, we are set on a journey, which is to continue from first breath to last. At times the path is smooth, the way ahead clear and the view pleasant. While these times are welcome and renewing, they may not be the ones where we learn and grow. When the path is rocky and the way uncertain, when we are tossed between paralyzing fear and energizing faith, these are the times we come to know unchanging truths, that we have unexpected strengths and gifts, that we are never alone, that you come to us through this cherished community. Help us in turn to be aware when others are in the valleys of their journey, and to be a loving, supportive presence for them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us sing the song, "The Lord, I Want to Be a Christian." As we sing this hymn together, we want to decide to follow Jesus Christ together. Let us sing it.
Welcome, everybody. Can you all see our special friend here?
It's Peter.
Yes, Josiah. His name is Bartholomew, and he has been a member of our house and a member of our family for about, what do we say, about a month. We found him in a strawberry. Isn't that crazy? We got a strawberry from the farm, and there was a little bitty snail. And we put the snail in here, and we started giving it food. And now look at him.
He's huge.
And sleeping. They apparently are nocturnal. I didn't know that. So these are things you learn when you have a pet snail. So Bartholomew is kind of part of our family now, right? At least until we have to release him back into the garden. What makes somebody a part of your family? Is it that everybody in your family has to look alike?
I don't look like you.
No, although you look more like me than, say, Millie. Right? Millie doesn't look very much like me, our dog. Millie is kind of part of our family. You know, there's families that have moms and dads and kids that look very different, and they're all one part of one family. So what else? Does thinking the same things or believing the same things make you a family?
No.
It can be hard when you think different things from or believe different things than your family. You can believe and think different things and still be part of the same family. So what makes a family? Do you have any ideas?
Well, you love each other?
Love, very good. Yes, love is what makes a family. It's a big part of it. Well, today we are looking again at another psalm, which is, do you remember what a psalm is? It's a prayer in the Bible. There are these prayers in the Bible, and there's a whole book for it called the Psalms. And this is another prayer that's in the Psalms, and Josiah has brought out our special rainbow pencil to help color this. But it says, how good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. And that word kindred is like the word for family. So this psalm is a prayer that the people would sing as they were walking to the temple together, which was where they would go to worship. They would go and they would march together and walk together and sing this beautiful song of celebration and talk about how great it is that we live and dwell together in unity, not just as our little family here, but also our big family, all the people of God that come to the temple. And so a community can have a lot of different kinds of people and a lot of different kinds of families that come together, that are all coming together to worship God at the temple, or in our case, at a church, or at virtual worship in our homes. But either way, we're all part of the same family of God. We're all part of the kindred of God. And when we show love to each other, when we show respect to each other, in spite of our differences, in spite of the way sometimes we think different things, we make God happy by showing love to each other. That means that we're all one family in God. And so how can we show love to each other and compassion to each other right now? Do you have any ideas? How can we show that we're all one big family?
Tell
it to people that you care about them, okay? Have to do it in a socially distanced way.
Give people hugs,
and of course right now that can be a little bit of a problem because we have to be socially distant. Well, wearing a mask might be a way to do it because it's not just about keeping ourselves healthy, but it's keeping others healthy, like that. And actually, in some ways, wearing a mask can be a way to show love to each other. That's a way to care for each other, and it's a very nice mask. Just remember, when you show love to other people, remember that they are a part of God's family. And so when you show love to them, even when they're different than you, God celebrates and loves them. All right, so let's pray together. You ready? Say, dear God, it is wonderful when we live together in unity. It makes you so happy when we show love to each other, even when we're different. Because we all are full of your spirit. And we are all deserving of love. Help us to show that to everyone. And to remember that we deserve love too. Amen.
Bye, everybody.
A reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Last Sunday, we learned that Jesus himself chose to be compassionate over being religiously correct, religiously right. He broke the religious regulations that he must not touch the man with leprosy. Do you remember that? Good. Jesus rather reached out his hand and touched the leper with his great compassion. As Jesus' followers, we must not let our religious passion override the compassion. However, the Christian church has chosen to be religiously correct over being compassionate in many ways in our history. Today, we are going to talk about one of the examples, perceiving divorce. Many of the Christian churches have condemned the divorce in the name of Jesus. Some traditions have even not allowed remarriage in the church buildings. And today's scripture reading has been used as a profound reference. Before talking about it, I want to make one point clear. The purpose of this message is not to advocate for those who just walked out of their marriage. If you are a victim of that case, please do not shut yourself down. The purpose of today's good news is to help ourselves not to manipulate Jesus' teaching to condemn a group of people in his name, in the name of Jesus. That being said, I apologize if this message has you bring all the pains from your divorcing experience. May God's comforting and healing love continue to be with you. Many Christians think that Matthew chapter 5 verses 31 and 32 is one of the most known passages about divorce in the Bible. But it actually talks about something more than that. That's what we are going to talk about. The Hebrew Bible says, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And another one, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. But before Moses' laws, husbands could abandon and actually abandon their wives without any cause. The husbands sent them away out of their houses, very abusive. Those wives who were kicked out couldn't remarry, as women couldn't own their own houses in their culture. They must have lived on the streets after their husbands abandoned them. And they were thought to be prostitutes or runaway adulteresses in many cases. And they couldn't remarry. They were stuck. Basically, they were stuck. In this context, God established this Moses law. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, give it to her and send her from his house. God established this law to protective sanctity of marriage from indecency. I-N-D-E-C-N-C-Y. Let me repeat it again. God established this law to protect the sanctity of marriage from indecency. In addition, although this law was still male-centered, God established a profound foundation to protect women from man's absolute power to abuse in marital relationships. At least it seemed that husbands couldn't abandon their wives without any cause by the law. Unless husbands found something indecent about their wives, they had to write certificates of divorce and had to give them to their wives. So those women got legitimately documented status were not perceived as prostitutes or adulteresses. Are you following me? Good. But by Jesus' time, husbands had lost this essence of the law, which was about the sanctity of marriage and minimal protection for women. And they had manipulated the law. The people interpreted the meaning of the word indecent in different ways. For example, Shammai and Hillel, two leading rabbis of the early 1st century of BCE, and their schools interpreted it in very different ways. The school of Shammai allowed divorce only for reasons of unchastity, sexual immorality. The school of Hillel allowed the husband to divorce his wife, quote-unquote, even if she spoiled a dish for him. Can you imagine that? Right, I know. So it meant that husbands had still legally abandoned their wives with the trivial and insignificant reasons. But they still believed that they had kept the law of God. In this context, Jesus said, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for porneia, any form of sexual aberration makes her the victims of adultery. In other words, the Message translation, remember the scripture that says, whoever divorces his wife, let him do it legally, giving her divorce paper and her legal rights. Too many of you are using that as a cover for selfishness and whim, pretending to be righteous just because you are legal. No more pretending. If you divorce your wife, you are responsible for making her be perceived an adulteress, unless she has already made herself that by sexual immorality. Anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It means if you marry a divorced adulteress, if you marry a woman who is divorced for sexual immorality, you are automatically an adulterer yourself. In other words, when giving the law, God's original intention was to command you to sincerely keep the sanctity of marriage and respect and honor your spouse. It has been said anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. I'm going to paraphrase the whole passage again. God wanted you to keep the sanctity of marriage and to have respect and honor for your wife. So God gave you a law about marriage through Moses. It says, do not abandon your wife with no reason. If you divorce your wife, make sure that she will have a legitimately documented status as you give her a divorce certificate. So she will not be perceived a prostitute or adulteress. But you hypocrite, you have manipulated the love of God and have still abused the marital relationship. So now I am telling you, anyone who divorces wife except for sexual immorality has responsibility for making her be perceived as an adulteress. The people would think she's an adulteress because they know that the scripture allows divorce only for sexual immorality. And if you marry such a divorced adulteress, you make yourself an adulterer. So keep the sanctity of marriage and respect and honor your wife. Of course, God wants all of you to keep your marriage permanent. But God wants you to keep it healthy and just. Did you hear me? God wants you to keep it healthy and just. God created marriage for God's people, not God's people for marriage. Stop doing anything harms your spouse. Stop being responsible for your marriage. You promise your spouse to do something or not to do something to keep your marriage healthy, but you have been irresponsible for your promise. Jesus is talking at you. Jesus is talking at you now. In short, I don't believe that the Bible passage says that divorce caused by sick, destructive, and abusive relationship is a sin. I believe God tells us this morning through the book of Matthew that sick, destructive, unjust, and abusive attitude toward your spouse is a sin. My married siblings in Christ, God wants to keep the sanctity of marriage and faithfulness and integrity in your marital relationship. God also wants you to respect and honor your spouse. My divorced or divorcing siblings in Christ, God wants you to believe that God's story for you, your life hasn't been over yet. A chapter may be closed, may have been closed. A chapter may be being closed, but God is writing another chapter with you. God doesn't condemn you for divorce. God rather cries for you and with you for all your pains you've gone through or you are going through. God wants you to begin a new chapter with the lessons you've learned from the past, not being a victim of the past. Again, divorce caused by sick, destructive, and abusive relationship is not sin. The very sick, destructive, unjust, and abusive attitude toward your spouse, irresponsible for your spouse, is sin. Then how will you treat your spouse this week? What will you do to break through the pains of divorce this week? Why would you tell your children about their marriage or their divorce? How would you treat the divorced siblings around you? Would you still let your passion for religious laws and regulations override your compassion? What would you do with today's good news this week? God bless you all. Amen. Let us sing the hymn, "Oh, How He Loves You and Me." May God bless all of us and feel we are loved no matter what. Amen. Amen. It's time for response to God's grace. Please join me in response to God's grace together. God wants our love. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our heart, not the amount of our offerings. And all say, as we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. 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 Let us take a moment of silence. Oh, no, not actually silence. You know, let us count our blessings. You know, you may share, you know, your thankful heart. I'm grateful to God for this and that, you know, with the people around you. Or you may share that, you know, in the chat room. So let us count the blessings God has already given to us. Last Sunday, I encouraged you to prepare your offering and to put the envelope in the Bible and pray for all the ministries of God and all the people God will reach out through our ministry missions. If you have not done, then please do it now. And let us continue to pray for our church, pray for our missions and ministries God is doing in us and through us. You may mail your offering to the church, 435 Central Street in Acton, Massachusetts. And you may visit our website, and there are several different ways you can send your offering to the church. So again, let us pray together. Pray together. It's time for prayer. The worship team, please send a prayer request to me, please. Text me, please. I have not received it yet, for whatever reason. So I'm waiting. Good. Susan LaSante, I give thanks that Jeremy was lucid enough to speak to his children from his hospital room. May he continue to heal from his mountain biking accident. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. And another prayer from her. Lord, I give you thanks for the deep blessings I received from the foot of the cross, a small group. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Andrea Bonar, our brother-in-law, was hospitalized this week. I appreciate continued prayers for Craig in Arizona. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Marie, pray for all those in Iowa and Illinois, including my sister-in-law and niece, cousins, and the Iowa Veterans Home, who were so severely impacted by the DRECO 106 MPH winds last week. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Doug Wurst, prayers for all the people who were impacted by the hurricane and tornadoes this week. prayers for all of us during this difficult time of coronavirus. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Tag, prayers for parents who are struggling to juggle work, childcare, and school during these challenging COVID times. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Jim K., prayers of gratitude for all of our church musicians. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Carmen Log, prayers for all the students, administrators, teachers, and parents trying to navigate what the school year will be. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. And I have a prayer request. Dennis, you know, one of our brothers, Dennis and his wife, Catherine, you know, they are traveling back to Akron this afternoon, today. You know, they brought Chris down to school. So please pray for their safe trip and also pray for Chris for his safe school life down there. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. Let us take a moment of silence and pray for all these prayer requests we've just shared, or pray for anyone who comes into mind and heart this morning. Let us pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those to trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let us share the sign of peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. The peace of Christ be with you. I have several announcements to share with you. Again, thank you very much for all the worship leaders this morning. And thank you for joining us in worship this morning. Especially if you are a visitor or a newcomer, please, and also you want to know about this church, you know, you want to talk with the pastor. Yeah, I'm the pastor. So please send me an email, joyofnewengland@gmail.com. joyofnewengland@gmail.com. Or please visit our church website. And any of you want to have a pastor visit, you know, in person, you know, keeping the distance and wearing masks, or, you know, want to have a pastor visit on Zoom or phone, please let me know. And please let me know. And we are almost the end of this meeting with the pastor. I think we have three spots left now. So if you wanted to, but you have not signed up, please do so. And after this worship service, we are going to have a coffee hour, you know, virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You know, you have the information on church website. And the password is coffee hour, one word, coffee hour. Please come and join us. My siblings in Christ, now go in peace. Go with assurance. You are loved. God cares about you, and God loves you. Yes, God loves you, and so do we. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen. Let us bless one another through this song together.
that, did that make a stream?